Memphis at the airport. She's married to the guy that saw on the screen for like many moons. 29 years. Oh my goodness, they're catching up to us, Bob. It's such a pleasure to have Sandra here. Sandra is a prayer warrior, and she has the heart of a lion in the kingdom, shared with the heart of a mom. So you're going to really enjoy hearing Sandra. Please welcome Pastor Sandra Long.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here. Sorry, this is Plan B, just in case Plan A doesn't work. I was actually praying on the way over here. It's a great drive on a Sunday morning to cross the city, isn't it? Because there's no cars on the road, and you're just, you know, kind of thing. So I almost got stopped. That was on Dixon Road. So the guy was looking right at me, and I'm like, oh, I was good. So. I'm really glad that you got to share an update, because last night when I was praying, I really felt a sense of urgency to pray for the Peru people. And so I'm glad that you guys prayed for them. You know, that's 2.5 weeks is a long time. It's a long time for their kids, too. But I know that John and Alex, wherever they go, you know, you should be proud of your pastors, John and Alex Canyon, because they're incredible pastors. They have passion. They have passion for people in different countries. And I know that they've been praying, like, they were doing a lot of intercession and praying ahead of time, but they always see good fruit. And I think the fun part, every time they come back from a trip, they always have a lot of deliverance. And deliverance is good, isn't it? Especially when you're going to some of these countries. There's a lot of deliverance that needs to happen here in Canada, but it's always a lot more hidden. In a lot of other countries, it's just right there. And so it's ready to come out. So it's very good. But this morning, when I was praying and on the way, the Lord was just saying, you know, Sandra, I was like, oh, now, you have to know, I don't usually say this, but I remember in grade 4, how many people remember when you had to do speeches in front of class? Yeah. How many people did not like that? Yeah. I used to shake. You know, and you had to speak for, like, you had to prepare a 5-minute speech, but you could do it in 2 minutes. I would do it in 30 seconds. So sometimes I get a little fearful and I'm like, oh God, please help me, you know, kind of thing. And then the Lord just spoke so clearly. He said, Sandra, it really is the simplicity of the message. And weeks ago, when I was preparing for this and just asking the Lord, you know, what should I talk on? The Lord just gave me three letters, joy. And I felt like this morning that the Lord wanted to release joy. But, you know, I realize that different people have different styles, but the simplicity of the message really can go right into your spirit. And I remember years ago, this is when we were starting to get introduced to back then, and some of you might not know that we used to be the Vineyard. That was, you know, we were part of the Vineyard with John Wimber. And I remember Stephen's brother and his wife had been involved in the Vineyard and going to meetings outside of their Baptist church. And one day, and I think I've probably shared this before, but you're all new, so you'll hear it again. But one day when we were, I get a phone call, and she says, you know, I've got a word for you. And I remember back then it was like, well, what's a word? And I had no idea. And I remember going to our pastor and saying, have you ever heard of anybody saying what a word is? And I was so like, oh my goodness, what is this word? And he said, well, tell me when you get it, and, you know, we'll just analyze the word. Well, the simplicity of the word was, the Father loved me. And that was it. And so sometimes, you know, on a Sunday morning, when we come before the Lord and he wants to deliver a simple message, and he wants to release joy. And so we're just going to go with it. But I just wanted to start out with, I did my print really big so I didn't have to wear my glasses. So this is good. I'll just stand back still, just in case. But in Nehemiah 8:10b, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it actually, if you guys get a chance, go on the website. You can get past sermons. I know you can, I think you guys can get them here too. They put them here. But on Friday night, we have our Come Holy Spirit night. And in the school ministry building, David Daly, Faith and David Daly, are Father Heart specialists that are originally from England, and they travel around the world. But he actually spoke a really great message on disappointments. I just thought I would add that one in there. It was very good, very good insight for me. Personally, I was just really encouraged. But again, when you read the scripture and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, And you know, when you're going through stuff, you're just sometimes like, oh God, you know, when the joy isn't there anymore, you kind of feel a little weak, don't you? You kind of feel a little numb. But I was kind of chuckling because I remembered how many people from the Sunday school days, that's why I love some of the songs you guys sang today. I'm like, oh, they're good. But you know, how many of you remember the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You know that one, right? And then there's the one, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in, right? And then my favorite one is, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack. I learned that in Sunday school, just so you know. So, I'm almost 50, and I remember that one. But I remember actually when I first came to the airport, we would sit with the kids and we, for that verse, we would get on the ground and then when we sang that particular verse, we'd all jump up, you know, because if you sat on a tack, you wouldn't be sitting on the ground, would you? But I was just encouraged, you know, actually the guy that wrote that song, I did a little bit of research. His name is George Willis Cook, and he wrote it in 1848. Interesting, hey? Now, he didn't write the part, and if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on the tack. Just so you know. I think he probably wrote, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, because he took that from the scriptures. But I know that as, you know, centuries have, you know, gone on, that he probably, people have added verses and that kind of thing. So I was sort of, you know, I love to laugh. And last night I was doing a little bit of research. Now, how many people have seen The Laughing Cat? Anybody? Well, we might play it later, but we're going to just put on a little video here just because I think it is the cutest, funniest video that I've ever seen. You know, YouTube, and some of you might, but it's, you know, a laughing baby. How many people ever do that? Every once in a while, I need to get a little bit of joy. I just put a laughing baby on. You can go ahead. That's why I have Plan B, just in case. But this is just the simplicity of joy and what it takes to what it takes to express joy. And we'll just want to see if it comes. But anyways, we'll try it one more time. And if it doesn't work, then we'll do my Laughing Cat. But I remember the first time I saw it. It's in one of those shops, the Laughing Cat. If you ever need it. I think it's funny, but if you ever need to get one, they have different animals there in the malls, you know, those ones where they advertise all those things on their commercials. I thought it was so funny. It, just the fact that the simplicity of, you know, a piece of paper ripping makes this child laugh. And the only reason I think, well, I don't know. I think sometimes we as adults need to come into that childlike faith, don't we? And we just need to laugh about silly things. And like, I know as an adult you go, maybe, I'm sorry, I laugh so much I'm crying, you know, kind of deal. But the thing that makes it funny is just sometimes we just have to step out of our adulthood and the pressures of life, and we need to step into the joy and all that kind of thing. But it was interesting because I did a little bit of research and about laughter. How many people have laughed so much it hurts their stomach? Anybody that? How many people laugh so much you cry and you almost can't breathe? Have you ever done that? I haven't done that in a long time. I actually can't remember the last time, but once in a while, there's just something that somebody says or somebody does like that, you know, like that clip that just makes you laugh and you just, I don't know, it just shakes your whole body. And it was interesting because it said laughter relaxes your whole body. And it says a good, healthy laugh releases physical tensions in your body, leaving your muscles released up to 45 minutes after. That's pretty good, isn't it? I thought that was very interesting. And so I think maybe if you, you know, at the end of a long day, you probably just need to put that clip on YouTube, maybe ripping the paper, and just start laughing. Now here, let me just put this one just so you get an idea of what that one is. But you have to kind of put it on a thing here because it's really funny. And remember, it's the simplicity of the message, okay, that we're enjoying. He's having a good time. I got that at the, I don't know, I just think it's funny. And then it'll just keep going. But anyways, you can turn it off for me. But anyways, I had to show you that one since I spent the money on it. I better show it to you. But it really does. Laughter does that kind of thing. So, you know, I tried it. My grandson's 3 months old, so he's just a tad little, oops, I'm so sorry. Here, we'll just do that. Yeah. he's a tad little too small, so I think he probably finds it a little scary. But the older kids like it, so. It says that laughter boosts your immune system. How many people need a boost? And you know what? I realize that there's all sorts of medication out there and natural things that you can take. You know, there's juices that you can take that boost your immune system. But hey, let's go for the real thing, right? And let's just laugh. Laughter triggers endorphins in your body. And it says it can temporarily relieve pain. How many people have gone to visit somebody in the hospital? And quite often when Stephen and I do that, we joke around. So if you go visit the hospital, you're going to get us joking around. But we do that because, you know, you want to bring some joy into the room. You want to bring some laughter into the room, you know, because in the midst of everything that they're going on, that's going on inside of them, you know, they need a little bit of joy. They need a bit of laughter. And look at that. It triggers endorphins so that they help your body. This is a good one. Laughter protects the heart. It improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. Very interesting, isn't it? Anybody, just out of curiosity, anybody here have heart problems? Just put your hand up if you do. Okay, anybody in their family that has heart problems? Well, you guys have healthy. Praise God. Man, you're healthy. So there you go. So I was just going to say, like, if you have somebody that you know that's having heart problems, why don't you send them a funny card or something like that? What, you know, just to cheer them up and to encourage them. But when I was asking the Lord about the scripture, let's just turn to Luke 15. He really just brought me to this place. To the parables, and it's the three parables, you know, and it talks about, it says, I'm just going to start reading, but it says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, you know what? They don't know what's going on. I'm just going to tell them a bit of a parable. So the first one, and how many people remember this from Sunday school, the one about the lost sheep? I remember, you know, the pictures and how the shepherd would come and there would be like a fence and then the sheep was on the other of the fence and he was going down the mountain or something and they would come and save them. But it says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And that's why I like the song that we just sung, What Can Wash the Blood of Jesus and like the White as Snow. And that's where all the old songs from Sunday school kick in. You know, Jesus loves little children, and you know, and then there's that book. What was the book that had the different colors? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious insight, you know, those things. But and I thought, when Jesus died on the cross for us, you know, now because of the blood of Jesus that is coming on, we are white as snow. We are clean inside and out, and it's incredible. Now, we'll just go on a little bit more, but then there's the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that incredible that he's just telling a parable, but he's just talking about loss. And loss is one of those interesting things that, you know, when we have too much of it, sometimes we can lose our joy. But the key thing is that the first two parables are about repentance, which is turning back to God. And whenever we repent, there is joy in heaven and joy that comes our way. And that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of shows on TV. Actually, I think there's a show called Forgiveness. Yeah, on TV. And I've watched it, and I think there people have highlighted, you know, stories where people have forgiven people, and they're not necessarily Christians, but medical doctors are getting it. They're getting that if you watch Dr. Phil and Oprah and all these things, you know, where they oftentimes they'll have interviews and they'll say, how did you get through this? And they'll say, it was forgiveness in that sense. But the whole thing here is that sometimes the weight, when we have the weight of the experience weighs us down so much that we have to repent. We have to turn away. We have to give it back to God, doesn't it? Because that's what Jesus did on the cross. So that's where joy has an opportunity to come in. I know over the years, Stephen and I have been in ministry for 29 years, as long as we've been married. He probably 30 years for him. But I know that over the years, that as we have walked through ministry, and I know that for some of you, whether you're, whatever age you are, you've walked through experiences, that the weight of stuff, the weight of unforgiveness weighs heavy on you. And unless you want to give it away, unless you repent for holding on to it, then you're never gonna be full of joy. And you know that cat laughing, and that's why I love seeing the simplicity of a baby laughing, because the simplicity of paper being ripped just makes that baby happy. And we want to be happy. We want to be full of joy. We want to stand out, don't we? I want to be known as Sandra the Encourager, Sandra the optimistic person. I know for Stephen's mom, I know she comes here with Stephen quite often, but she's in a wheelchair. And she had a stroke, it'll be about 5, maybe 6 years ago. And the diagnosis of the doctors was that at the time that she would never recover, that she would just be in a bed. And that would be it. You know, there would be like her whole right side. She wouldn't be able to talk. She wouldn't be able to do anything. She would just be there. And because of Stephen's mom, I don't know, between the family praying and between her optimistic spirit, she just laughs all the time. And the Lord has brought her to that incredible place where she's just a happy person. And so she lives in a long-term facility with people. Unfortunately, there's a lot of seniors there that mentally aren't there. And she, like, mentally is all there. It's just her physical body. So she has quite a few chuckles. So when we go visit her, she'll tell us what some of these people do. Sometimes they you have to be of good humor and of joy when you're in the middle of the night, you're sleeping, and somebody bursts into your room, and you're like, what? You know, when they're talking. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny for, you know, and she'll tell the story, and she'll tell how funny it is. But anyway, so just remember that, because we're going to pray about that at the end, but we're going to pray about where sometimes we need to repent of things that we've done. And if we don't repent, then the joy gets stolen from us, and the simplicity of that. And, you know, even this morning on the way over, that's why I thought, you know, if you're interested in watching the talk from David Daly on disappointment, it was incredible some of the things that he said that I just began to repent. So I've just been repenting for 2 days because I want my spirit. I want to be able to embrace joy. I want to be able to say, you know, whatever I do, wherever I go, whoever I connect with, you know, that I'm joyful and that I'm happy and that I can just laugh at the silly things. Let me just tell you, my mother is an incredible woman of God. She didn't have an easy upbringing. She was, there was 10 children in the family, and she was abused, and so were her siblings. And so there was just a lot of stuff going on there. But, you know, my mom is 74 now, and she's being childlike now, which is incredible. The very thing that when she was a little girl, and then, you know, even a young woman, and then up into her 40s, she just was working hard, trying to please people, just trying to, you know, get on with life. And then all of a sudden, she got the Father's love message inside of her, and the joy of the Lord began to stir up inside of her. So my mom's so cute because, you know, if she was here right now and we were in a meeting, and she saw me, like, drop all the papers on the floor, or if I pulled a seat out from somebody, she'd just start laughing. Because isn't that what a child does? A child just starts laughing at anything. So I just believe that today, that the deposit of joy that the Lord is going to pour into you is just going to be that simplicity, childlikeness. And I'm really happy that at the age of 74 that my mother is finally becoming childlike. That all the things in her life that have weighed her down, and the words that have been spoken over her that have been negative, now those things have been lifted off of her. And now she's like this free person. And things that were lost, now they're found. And that's, you know, the first two parables when they talk about that. Okay, I'm not going to read it all, but the parable of the lost son. In verse 11, it says, there was a man who had two sons. Oh, I'll read it really quick. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and it began to be in need. So he went and hired himself into a citizen, or out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death, and I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against the heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, and this part really touches me as a parent, that, you know, in the midst of all that son went through, that the father kept praying for him earnestly. You know, and I know that there's people here that have been praying for their sons or daughters to come back to the Lord. And even the act of the father where he was waiting in anticipation. You know how parents get that? I know it bothers my kids even to this day, but we just know things, don't we? You know, we can look at our kids in the eyes. I'm sorry, you know, young people here. But we can look at you and we just know things. It's whether we choose to say it or not, just so you know. So we begin to pray, and we begin to call on God, and we begin to say, Lord, just come and bring them to that place with you. And so it says, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. How many people have read the book Wild Love by Krista Prey? Anybody read that book? I was going to bring that with me, but Krista Prey, he was our worship leader. He's been here, hasn't he? Yep. and he prayed, and his whole testimony. Has he spoken about his testimony here? Anyways, in that, when I was reading that book, I was just like, man, it's a great book. It's a biography of his father's life and then his life. But his father was actually raised in the World War II, and he saw a lot of things, experienced a lot of things, did a lot of things that when he came back, he became a very angry man. So basically what happened was when in private, he was not a very nice father to his kids. There was a lot of anger. I think there's just things that, you know, I think he hit his children, he yelled at his children. There were just things that he did out of, you know, his woundedness from the war. And but in private, everybody thought he was a great man. He taught at school, he was a high school teacher, and everybody always had something good to say about him. Needless to say, Chris Dupre, as a little boy growing up in that home, he experienced just a lot of sadness. There was not a lot of joy. His heart became closed. But at one point, when he heard about the father's heart and the father message about repenting, all of a sudden, his heart started turning, and he was releasing his dad from all of his judgments. So he talks about, I won't tell you the whole thing, but I'll tell you the end. And then you'll go, oh, you told me the end of the story. But he does reconcile with his father. And if you read the book, it's incredible how he reconciles with it, because he was afraid, because he never knew what was going to come out of his dad's mouth. He never knew if there was going to be an angry word or anything. So he reconciles with his father. And at one point, his father's in the hospital. He's got to have a simple operation. I just can't remember what it is. But because he reconciled with his father, because he repented, because he began to build that relationship with his father, there was like joy in his heart, both of them. And so his father, like my mother, became childlike. And he talks about how just before he went into to go under for the surgery, how he said to Chris, give me a kiss, because they would always kiss, you know, on the cheek. He never did it as a young boy, but as a grown-up man who had forgiven his father, the father, you know, that relationship was restored, he began to kiss. And so even as the father was going down to the operating room, Chris is right beside him, and the father just kept throwing him kisses and all this kind of thing, and just, I love you, Chris, all that kind of thing. And I'm not going to tell you what happens after that, just so you know. But so that you can read the book. But I thought, you know, here's an older man. I don't know how old his father was when the relationship was restored, but he was a grandfather. But here's an older man that all of a sudden, all the weight, you know, of not doing a good job raising his kids, knowing that he had done all those things, was lifted off of him. And all of a sudden there was joy, and all of a sudden he could become childlike, and all the simplicities of childlikeness came on him. I don't know what, I mean, when I see my kids sometimes, like my son who lives in England, when I see him, when he arrives at the airport, I just go up to him, and mums, it's easy, isn't it? We just go up and we kiss them all over their face. We don't care what people are saying. But I know even my husband, Stephen, you know, when he sees his kids, he just goes up to them and he loves them, he hugs them, and he doesn't care. And that's kind of what joy does. When joy is in your spirit, when restoration is in your spirit, then you're just going to do whatever it takes, right? And I think that's what our Heavenly Father does, that he just wants to come and he wants to kiss us all over. He kind of wants to be, I think it was Melinda Fish that Paul said it once, if you remember her from way back, but she said she called it the kissing monster. But anyways, that was her. But anyways, the parable of the lost son. Now I just had mentioned, here, let me just keep reading it. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on to him. This is verse 22. Put on a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. Well, and we'll just stop there for a minute. But the point is that when the father saw the son, he brought out the best, didn't he? He brought out the robe. He brought out I know there's sermons on the significance of the sandals and the ring. He brought out the fattened calf. He just brought out everything. And if you read in between, I mean, obviously the other son didn't like that because he's like, what's going on? But you know what? The father was so full of joy of his son returning. And that's how the father feels about it, that he wants to lavish on us. How many people here, you know, oftentimes I'll look at something in a store and I'll go, oh, God, you know, yeah, isn't that nice? You know, we'll have that discussion, you know, because I'm window shopping. You know, that's all I'm doing. I'm window shopping. I go, look at that. Isn't that nice? And then, you know, and there's a joy in my spirit. It's kind of like when I get my older son will be married 2 years in December. And they just recently had a baby. They gave us a grandbaby. His name is Ethan, and he's the cutest thing. But he's just so cute. Babies are so cute. And the good thing is, you know what? They live with us right now just for a short time. They live upstairs. We live in the basement, so we hear nothing. Praise the Lord. So when he's fussy, we can go, okay, see you later. It's really good. I don't even know where I was going with that, but let's just go on. But anyways, I just thought I had to bring that out. But the story of the parable of the lost son, it's about a son who finds his father. He repents and he turns back to his father. And you know what? That's the key thing. If we want joy, sometimes we have to put our pride down and we have to step forward and we have to do it, even if, obviously this father was ready to receive his son, right? But I know in some of your situations that you say, but you don't know my father. You don't know my situation. And they're probably just going to laugh in our face and all that kind of thing. But you know what? That's where you do your part, right? And it says, because the son did that, he was able to enter into his father's joy. So he got all of that stuff. So I just want to read this part. It says, the point that Jesus was trying to make to the Pharisees in verse 1 and 2 is that a relationship with the Father is life-giving, abundant, and full of joy. And that's where he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to be dancing around, you know, and just going, oh my goodness, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm weak, he's strong, right? And that we just begin to declare all those things inside of him. Or inside of us. Like, just there's something in there. Now, in 1 Peter 1:8, I was kind of talking, it's very interesting. Ever since I started preparing for this sermon, I've had more than probably four or five people that don't even know that I'm going to talk on joy, that just come up to me and talk about joy. And one of the pastors said to me this past week, they said, oh, Sandra, what about in 1 Peter 1:8, and it talks about unspeakable joy. And I was like, yes, unspeakable joy. And then, you know, there, and the thing about unspeakable joy is it's joy that is inside of you. It's so deep inside of you that you don't even know how to express what's inside of you. Anybody ever felt like that? And it's kind of like when my grandson, his birthday, I think it's June 2nd. I just know it was a Thursday. Isn't that terrible? But anyways, it's either June 2nd or 3rd. When he was born, I remember, like, the room was there, and we were at the end of the hall. And Stephen was in the visiting room, and he's so cute because Stephen's like this walking evangelist. Wherever he goes, if there's stuff going on, he just prays for them. So I'm here interceding, Jesus, you know, my grandson's coming, Lord, just be with him, and da da da. You know, so I'm interceding, and he's witnessing over there. So at one point, I walked over there and I grabbed him. I know it sounds terrible, but I just said, you know what, you have a grandson being born, you know, and so that's where my joy, his joy is both, right? But anyways, all of a sudden, we heard the baby, the sound of a baby. And both of us just like were laughing and crying all at the same time. And I know you guys just had a baby. And just that experience of the baby coming out. And like, I know as a mother, like I actually now have sympathy after, you know, when you're out to there, you have to know, men, when you're out to here and you're carrying this heavy load, when the baby is born, you are joyful. Because all of a sudden you can feel the ribs and all those things. But I remember, like, Stephen and I, we phoned my mother and father, and we just said, here, listen. And, you know, when they heard Ethan, you know, crying, and it was just incredible. And we phoned Stephen's mom, and we told her the same thing. And it was a joy that was unspeakable. There was no words that describe that the very son that I gave birth to married a beautiful Christian lady, and now they've been married. And are pregnant and have a baby boy and give us a grandson. And we already started, even the day that they were married, we started praying for our grandchildren. It wasn't like, you know, take your time, but, you know, we are ready. And I think Stephen was more ready. But I just wanted to describe that experience, that unspeakable joy that was inside of us. We didn't have words when we looked at Ethan. And to this day, you know, when I look at that picture of, you know, the baby laughing, there is no words for me in that, you know, to describe how I feel. All I know is when I watch that, everything bad around. Was going to use my mummy voice. But do you ever get that when you start laughing that everything around you just kind of goes away, doesn't it? All the, you know, you just start laughing and laughing and you're full of joy. And again, I know that of Ethan being born brought Stephen and I great joy under a lot of pressure that we were going through. And so the incredible gift that God has given us that we get to go home and we get to see Ethan. And our biggest joy, I tell you, is if he'll smile at us. You have to be a mother, I guess, but Stephen, he becomes this, like, it's incredible. You know, Stephen's my shaper mover man, you know. He's, like, planning things, you know. He's planting churches. He's doing all these things, and he's easygoing. But when he comes home and he looks at Ethan, he turns into a different man. He's like, oh, hello, Ethan, oh, and this big face and this expression, and sometimes I look at him, I go, who is this man? But he makes faces at him, he blows, you know, the little bubbles in his tummy, you know, and all those kind of things, and he forgets sometimes that, you know, he needs to shave, you know, so Ethan cries a little bit at that one. But you know, it's just absolutely incredible. So I just want to encourage you that in the midst of loss, that when we repent of things, and we're gonna pray about this now. We're going to take some time, and we're just going to pray and ask the Lord to show us if there are things. Because if you haven't been experiencing real joy, unspeakable joy, amazing joy in that comes from the Father, then there just might be something in the way. There might be something going on. And just like Stephen's mom, you know, where her whole right side is being taken away from her, she has truly pressed in. To, you know, and it's not that she doesn't have bad days. I know that she has bad days, but like she, I think this is what I was going to say before, she's like the model patient on that floor. She gets her picture taken in the news thing. She gets to write, you know, like stories, you know, so that people are drawn into that facility because she's the prize patient. You know, she's full of joy. She's optimistic. And we want to be optimistic, don't we? When we go into work tomorrow, I know, and this is, you know, we want to be real too, but how many times you go into work, oh, how was your day? Or weekend, was it great? What did you do? Oh, it was great. You know, like kind of thing. And, you know, like sometimes I'm like, have you ever done that when somebody responds like, you know, you're just like, okay. And you sort of step away from them because you don't want to catch what they have. It's like somebody saying, oh, I have lice. And you're like, or I have a cold, or I've had the flu, or, you know, and you're like this, and you're like, oh, no, okay, you know, kind of thing. But you want to be so full of joy that people are drawn to you. You want to be able to influence the area around you, don't you? Where you work, your home, that kind of thing. You know, even homes, you want your place to be so full of joy that your kids' friends want to come over because they like it. They're like, there's something about your house. You guys have a load of fun. I mean, I'm not saying that we don't always experience joy 24 hours a day, but wouldn't it be, I think God's intention is that if we live as God is our source, then we would be experiencing 24-hour joy. But, I mean, our human nature, and I have to tell you, I don't always experience 24-hour joy, but I know that being optimistic in that way is important. So how about we stand up right now? We're just going to... I'm just going to have you close your eyes. Take a big stretch if you need to. Close your eyes. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to come. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would just come right now. And we just want to ask you a couple of questions because we really want to walk in joy. We want to walk in that newness of joy. that comes from you, that comes from knowing you. And so my first question would be, what is one thing that I need to repent for, that I need to turn away from? And so just let's just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something that I've lost that I need to find again? You know, those stories that we just read, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Those were things that were lost, but the incredible thing about those parables is when the lady was sweeping the floor, the coins were found. When the shepherd went out to find his sheep, he found the one lost sheep. And when the son prepared for his son and went out to find him, he found him. So let's just ask, Holy Spirit, give me that one thing that might be hindering me from stepping into that place of joy that I need to repent of. I'm just going to wait on him for a few seconds. I even sense that I got the phrase, I failed. And that's the fruit of it, isn't really, just with things going on. But you know, with the Father's help, you're not a failure. Now, in those situations, or there could be a number of them, or the one situation, we want to ask the Lord, Father, who do I need to forgive in this situation? I choose to forgive. And then just say, what is it they did? And then release them from all my judgments. And you know the key thing about releasing is that I love this phrase, they owe me nothing. Sometimes we live in a life where we want to pay back for what people have done to us. But really, that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so we don't have to go there. They owe us nothing. I even remember once there was something with one of my sons, and I said, Father, if he would only repent of what he did, I would feel so much better. And then the Father reminded me, Sandra, you know what? That's what the cross was all about. He owes you nothing. And so I constantly have to release him and keep saying, they owe me nothing. So if you're finding it difficult, they owe me nothing. Just speak that. Now I'm just going to begin to pray over you. Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come and release your joy. Father, I don't know what kind of joy that you want to release into them, but Lord, I just know that you want to release your joy. Father, the unspeakable joy. The joy that comes from knowing a Father who loves you. Father, I'm asking that the Nehemiah joy, the joy that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, I'm asking where in this situation where it has made us weak, Father, I'm asking that this joy would make us strong. Father, I thank you, and I just want to declare over these ones right now, Father, that you created us to be joyful. And Father, I sure would love to be joyful 24 hours a day. Father, I love to be joyful in your presence. I love to be joyful in my workplace, in the store, wherever I'm at. Father, I want to be joyful. Father, I'm asking that you would come and restore your joy. And I don't have the significances of this, what these things mean, that I know you can do a study on it. But Father, I'm asking that even right now, that you would put on the ring and the robe. And you would call somebody cook fat and calf for us right now. Because Father, you want to celebrate. You want to celebrate us today. You want to celebrate what was lost is now found. You want to celebrate the newness of the joy that is coming into our spirit.
Wow.
Father, I'm asking that, you know, when earlier on it talked about how joy, when we have joy, when we laugh, that physical things happen in our body that are good, Father. I'm asking for more of that. Lord, I'm asking that high cholesterol and high blood pressure would go away in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that it would be replaced with joy. Father, I'm asking that diabetes would go right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and it would be replaced with joy. Father, I'm asking for any physical elements in our body that are not right, that are not in line with your plans, Father, that you would come and just release your joy into your sons and daughters right now. Thank you, Papa. Father, would you come and just wash away all the disappointments, all the things that have caused us not to be joyful. Father, I'm asking for an increase, Father, in our passion and compassion for each other. Lord, I'm blessing. And if you're with a spouse, just hold their hand. Or if you're with a sibling, or you're a mother, or a daughter, or a mother and father, however it is, or if you're with somebody, just touch their shoulder. But Lord, I'm asking that you would just come and release a passion inside of me, and a joy for my spouse, for my daughter, for my son, for my friend, Father. Lord, I'm praying that when we leave this place today, Father, that we would go out joyful. Lord, it would not just be another service, but Father, it would be a service where we thought we met God today. We were filled with the presence of God and with his joy. And so, Father, I'm asking that you would just come and do that, Father, right now. Father, I'm asking that the joy of heaven would come down into this room right now and just fill all of your sons and daughters right now. And Father, that all the stuff that's going on, Father, would just not even, it would just disappear. When it talked about when you laugh and how that some people can be relieved of pain temporarily. Well, Father, that's the medical point of view. But Lord, I know that when we have the joy of the Lord, that the pain goes away completely. And so, Father, anybody where they have been feeling the weight of pain on their chest, and Father, it goes right into their belly, and it goes into their body, and it goes all over, Father. I'm asking that you would just come and release that disappointment. And Lord, we just lift it off of them right now. We lay it at the foot of the cross. And Father, I just give you glory, and I give you honor, and I give you praise. And I just want to switch just for a second and just say, you know, that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. His love was so great. He took away all of our sins, all of our pains. They were nailed to the cross. They're gone. And today, there could be some people here that, you know, the God's just saying, you know what? I actually feel that there's some people here that just say, I just need to get back on track with the Lord. I need to begin to pray more. I need to begin to read the Bible more. I need to believe what the Bible says for my life. I need to release God from any stuff like blaming him. Lord, I ask that you would just come and just renew their hearts for you, Father. Renew that passion for you. So, Father, we just give you all. We just give you all the glory and all the honor. Holy Spirit, just come and minister to their spirits now. Just come and love them in an amazing way. Father, help us to remember that YouTube picture of that baby laughing, Father, at the simplicity of the paper ripping and loving to hear, Micah loved to hear his laugh because his dad was laughing along with him. And just picture yourself sitting with the Father laughing. Laughing, laughing, laughing. Not at you, but with you. Thank you, Papa. So, Father, I'm asking that you would come. And if I just feel like you need to even put your hand on your belly, wherever your belly is. Father, I'm asking that you would just come and release a joy and a laughter into our bellies today. Father, that would just be so incredible. Whoa. That the sound of joy, the sound of laughter would just make everything. everything better. Whoa. Just renew everything. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Just take that right now. Take that joy. You know, and I just want to say, I feel like, you know, the Lord is moving us forward. We need to move forward. We need to move beyond the gunk. We need to, and I had this word on Friday night. I feel like it's a season of like wiping your feet and moving beyond now. You know what? You've done the stuff. You've repented. You've done everything that you know how to. You've gone before people and you've dealt with the issues. And he's saying, okay, now it's time to step over the stuff and just to walk forward and to enjoy and embrace all that he has for you. So, Father, we just give you all the glory. And we give you all the honor and praise. Now, I just want you to turn to a neighbor or somebody close to you and just begin to pray joy over them. Begin to pray Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit over them, so that when they leave this place, that they leave it with the presence of God. I can just feel his presence just flowing in this room. Wow. And Father, we want to leave with that. We want to leave fully embracing your love this morning.